Hey guys, Mike the Birdman Dodd here for MeowBox.com. You guys know how much I love my fur babies, Ayla, Logan, and Dr. Wily, and this is something that is definitely up their alley. MeowBox.com is a subscription box service for cats that features new kinds of treats, food, and some really cool new toys that will entertain them for hours. MeowBox.com also supports local animal and rescue shelters. For every MeowBox bought, they give a can of food to a shelter cat on your behalf. There are multiple subscription plans available, but you can get 10% off your first subscription by using promo code GEEK10. Go to MeowBox.com and give your kitties something they'll love. Be sure to check them out on Twitter and Instagram under MeowBox. Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to This Week in Geek, and I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, and you are listening to Botched Role. Basically, a collection of stories, tales, and insights about role-playing games. As you guys have checked out, I've talked with some really cool people. I've talked with people from Palladium Books. I've talked with people from Paizo. I've talked to pretty much a lot of really cool people, even some software developers, such as Ben Loomis, who did Sirenscape, and the guys behind Fantasy Grounds, and how that integrates with D&D 5th Edition. But I've done a few episodes where I've just kind of talked about role-playing games in general. I've talked about Star Wars, I've talked about Shadowrun, but I haven't talked about one of the big elephants in the room. You might be saying, well, that's Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah, kind of. But I want to talk about something a little bit different today. I want to talk about Pathfinder from Paizo Publishing. And the reason I want to do that is because, as you guys know, I'm a huge role player now. But it wasn't always like that. Like, for example, my history with role-playing games, as I've probably mentioned this before, goes all the way back to grade 8 in high school. And it began with a friend of mine running Advanced D&D 2nd Edition, where I always ended up playing a cleric and we always ended up fighting orcs, and I thought it kind of sucked. And truthfully, it kind of soured me on D&D and fantasy role-playing for quite some time, because I never got a chance to do anything different. And then later on during high school, my friends started playing 3.0, which came out in, I think, the year 2000. And, you know, we'd play some D&D, and it was okay. It wasn't anything special. 3.5 came out, and all right, I'm starting to pay a little bit more attention. I'd kept up with the books. I felt more out of a sense of obligation. But it wasn't until a couple of summers ago, my friend Chris, he's the guy who used to do Beyond the Gauntlet here on the network, and he runs a local comic book store. And he invited me to start playing Pathfinder. Now, there was a Tuesday night group that would get together, and that was basically considered for the noobs, though inevitably I'd probably be the most experienced person around that table, except for Chris, maybe, because I think he's older than me. I think he's been playing longer, too. But anyway, and he introduced me to this game called Pathfinder. And I eventually started to look a little bit more into it using my media connections. I got some samples of the books, and I've reviewed them and recommended them across my various gift guides over the years as sort of an alternative to D&D. And over the last couple of weeks, I've been kind of looking at, why do I choose Pathfinder over Dungeons and Dragons 9 times out of 10? And I've been kind of looking back through some of the lore, but also some of the associated products and license stuff that goes with Pathfinder. And I find myself thinking, you know what? I think the reason I like this world or this particular game better is because I have a more intimate connection with the campaign setting. And for those of you who are kind of new to the show and wondering what's a campaign setting, it's basically the game, it's the world that it's set in. But for a game like, say, Dungeons and Dragons, there can be many campaign settings. There's, like, Forgotten Realms, there's Greyhawk, there's Dark Sun, there's Ravenloft, there's even Spelljammer, stuff like that. There's so many different worlds, and that game's been around for 40 years. That's 40 years of lore, that's 40 years of novels. And with me, I want to be able to connect to a world kind of at the ground level. I want to care about what's going on. I want to know the lore. I don't expect my players to know the lore as deeply as me, but if they did, that would be ultimately rewarding. And I guess myself as a player, this is sort of my RPG bucket list. I'm forever looking for that one role-playing game that engages me not just in a dungeon crawl of combat, but gives me a reason to care about my character. And I've had that happen a few times in my life, most notably with my early Shadowrun characters. And I experienced it last summer with my character Thera, who's officially part of the Freeport campaign setting, as a water witch or a sea witch who helps transport people. I backed the Freeport Kickstarter last year, and it's probably the best $200 I've ever spent, just because something I genuinely care about is a part of the canon. But allow me to go on. So with Pathfinder, this game's only been around since I think 2008, 2009, and it's the evolution of the D&D 3.5 rules using the Open Game License. And it's been called, unofficially, D&D 3.75. It fixes a lot of problems with D&D, with basically you getting bogged down with math, stuff like grappling, stuff like that, and magic. And for me, the last time I tried to get into a fantasy roleplay session, serious one, was back in 2009, 2010 with D&D 4th Edition, which my friend Lorenzo ran us through, which was a lot of fun. I played with a lot of new people, and Lorenzo really cared about the D&D world, and it felt alive to me, but I didn't feel the intimate connection that I felt with my character last summer playing Pathfinder. And the reason I cared is because, like I said, you get in on the ground level with the lore of Galarin, or Galarion. I'm not sure how to pronounce it yet. I haven't listened to the audiobooks, but I'll talk about that in a little bit. And it's the fact that I can experience this lore at my own pace, and I feel more connected to it because there isn't mountains of it. There's a lot of lore out there, a lot to learn. I'm mostly focusing on the main campaign setting, which is the Inner Sea, and then to a lesser extent, Freeport stuff, but one game at a time, so to speak. So, I look at this sort of thing, and last summer, playing my character, I decided to do something a little bit different. I've never truly played a character that wasn't just a tank. I mean, I'm always used to playing a fighter or a cleric. And the thing is, with playing a cleric, you're supposed to worship a god. Yet my character is like, oh, what are the cool combat bonuses that I can take? And I've heard people refer to it. In fact, it was actually Kurt Weigel from, Game Geeks RPG, which is an awesome channel on YouTube, which I will link here, talking about your character should be more than a collection of stat blocks. And when I created Thera, I wanted to do that. I mean, I've never played a spellcasting class. I've never played a druid. I've never played a sorcerer, wizard, or truly played a cleric correctly. So I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, all right, let's create Thera. And what do I want her to be? I want her to be an elf. Why? I'll admit, this is the one time I kind of gave into its stats, but at the same time, okay, how can I work this into my character's background? And I started creating this elaborate idea of this elven sorcerer who was kind of very curious about her bloodline. Little did I know there would be a character in the Pathfinder canon, Sione, who would be very, very, very similar to this, except she's human, I'm pretty sure. I'm still wrapping my head around some of these things, but I'll get to that. And I'm thinking, okay, well, if I'm a scholar, I'm not going to be a combat beast. That doesn't make any sense. So I'm thinking, all right, what if I was a utility-based character? And I kind of got the idea from listening to my friend Noah Spoony Antweiler's show, Counter Monkey, where he was talking about never refer to your characters by class or even worse, by race. Like, hey, elf, go see if there's something in the dark, or hey, thief, go pick that lock. And I wanted to be the complete antithesis of that. So in creating Thera, I'm thinking, all right, I have the world of Pathfinder before me. I have a world where I can literally breathe life into something that I really, really, really care about. So in creating her, like I said, she's an elf, and I created her to be a sorcerer, and I'm looking at the spells, and for once I'm not thinking, well, what deals damage? Because you know what? Everybody takes Magic Missile. Everybody takes Ray of Frost, Ray of Flame, blah, blah, blah. You know, they take these spells that do 1d4, 1d5, maybe 1d6 damage at a really low level, right? But I'm thinking, you know what? What if I was a librarian who got pushed into a battle? And that's kind of where I approached Thera from. Sort of like she's had some combat training, but never anything serious, never anything that this is, hey, this might save your life one day. More like, you know what, here's how to use a sword, here's how to use a bow, whatever, right? They're not high priority skills. And then things started to come to life as I started fleshing out her background and learning about the arcane bloodlines and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, all right, I can read magic, I can write stuff, I can identify stuff. And I started putting stuff into identify magic item, use magic item, appraise. I wanted my character to sort of be, when her life was normal, she wanted to be a jeweler, in addition to being kind of a scholar, right? Sort of run a shop, do her own thing, be left alone, not venture out and be an adventurer. So with doing this, I started, like I said, looking more at the world of Pathfinder as something that I could become familiar with. Because, like I said, I don't have 40 years of history. I didn't have to know, you know, like, what happened when X happened or whatever. With Pathfinder, I'm only really now learning more and more about the world. And it's something that I can understand, like how there were different ages, there were different races that once walked the Earth, and there were these gods that are now gone, and why the Pathfinder Society, this group of adventurers, goes out and chronicles the world of Galarin and why people won't want to join it. And I decided with Thera, she wanted to become a member of the Pathfinder Society to make her impact in history from an academic standpoint. You know, it's one thing to study musty old scrolls. Sometimes you got to get your hands dirty. So she joined up with a group of adventurers, and that's kind of where things kind of started with her. And it's neat, though, just the fact that kind of being a character who is more likely to take a dancing light spell or throw voice or stuff like that. Like, I'm taking things that I was actually specifically avoiding spells that did damage. Specifically, I'm thinking, you know what? Grease is actually really, really, really useful. Why? You grease someone's sword, grease a door, grease the floor. Because I've always wanted to have that experience as a player where I can, the world comes to life. It's not just you walk into a room, there are six orcs, you kick their ass. No, I want to know that there's tables splintered everywhere. I want to know that there's a bartender cowering behind the bar. I want to know that there's a fire on the other side of the room and it's starting to spread. And I'm thinking, all right, I want to be able to take advantage of a situation. Stuff like that. I want to be able to think outside the box. And that's something that's always been escaping me in any of my fantasy sessions that I've ever played with people across the various years that I've been rolling dice. And Pathfinder just seemed to scratch that itch for me. And because it was a sense of the familiar. Like I said, Pathfinder was built upon the basics of D&D 3rd edition. And as it evolved, it became its own thing. It has enough room for flexibility where combat, where if you do something, you genuinely feel rewarded, and each character class feels something unique to you. Like, for example, like I said, I've been playing Thera as a sorcerer. In the most recent game I'm playing now every other Tuesday night, I'm deciding to play a tank. I know, right? I'm playing a barbarian. Last time I played a barbarian was in 4th edition D&D, and I was a friggin' idiot. With this one, looking into the history of the world and how people view half-orcs, I kind of decided to play my character Chatwin as a guy who wants to lead his former orc tribesmen to greater glory. Right now, he's chaotic neutral. He does what he wants when he wants. He's not an evil guy, but, you know, if it's in his best interest, yeah, sure, he'll help you out. But otherwise, you know, he's not going to sweat if something terrible happens. So I'm playing with this group of guys, and that's what I'm aiming for. I want to bring my backstory to life. And there's so much rich history there that when you look about, like, coming out of the Age of Darkness and the Age of Agony, stuff like that, basically after a huge meteor screws up the world and the orcs come out of the Underdark and fight with the dwarves, there's, like, man, there's that racial tension there. And there's a chance to create a really interesting story there, too. And I've never felt that connection with D&D, because it always just seems like there's a mountain of source books to sort through. With Pathfinder, I felt like it was a lot more welcoming, and I think the reason I did that is because you technically don't need a lot to play it. For example, to play the game, truthfully, you need the core rule book and probably a monster manual. That's really about it. Because the core rulebook contains all the classes that you could probably want to play, and there's enough tweaking within those classes that you can do a lot more. Like, there's, like, arcane sorcerer, stuff like that. There's a barbarian. There's, like, a totem fighter, stuff like that, right? And I'm thinking, all right, I'm starting to get this, cool. So it's got all the rules you need to play as a player, and more or less as a DM if you're creative. But if you really want to get into the core of the game, the crunch of it, there's a lot of neat customization. And that's the cool thing I like about a lot of D20-based games, is when they add new rules and new stuff, it's usually really, really kick-ass and usually really, really, really worth it. Like, for example, the recommended books I'm going to give you if you wanted to start playing Pathfinder is you obviously need the core rule book. And this book I just saw recently, and I actually really, really recommend this for new people coming in. It's the Pathfinder Role-Playing Game Strategy Guide, and it gives you illustrations and details of how to level up each class. Like, what happens at each level. Here are your numbers, here's what you can now do. Here are some suggestions to get the most out of it. Because, like I said, you want your characters to be more than a bunch of stat blocks, but you also want to be able to maximize those stats that you have to their fullest advantage. And I don't consider that gaming the system. I just consider that good advice. That's you figuring stuff out. And the book's only like $30. So I genuinely enjoy that aspect of it. Another book that I read over the wintertime was Ultimate Campaign. And this is more if you want to be a game master. It gives you the little nuances of making your kingdom, your game, come to life. Like, economies of towns, new people. Basically making the world feel like a world. It's not just Middle Earth or whatever. It's not just standard fantasy. You're adding layers of depth to it. And for certain player groups will really appreciate that, because the world is not just it's not Skyrim. It's not just here's fantasy and it works. You're presenting a world with new people in it, with new motivations, but also, you know, there are other possibilities for people to get involved too, and just having things layered can really, really, really help. Another book that I'd recommend is, once again, if you want to be the game master, The Game Mastery Guide, explaining how to create a dungeon, traps, adventure hooks, making your NPCs memorable and stuff like that, because that's a big thing. With Pathfinder, they have this line of comic books and lore that goes with it that makes the game infinitely more interesting. A couple of years ago, I interviewed Jim Zubkovich, and he wrote a lot of the Pathfinder comics. He did Dark Waters Rising, of Tooth and Claw, City of Secrets, I think he did. I'm just reading Origins now. And it helps you connect to some of the characters in this game. And that's really neat, too. You get examples of who a fighter is. And the fighter, in this case, is a guy named Valoros. And he's this brash kind of braggart. But, you know, he used to be a farmer kid who basically said, you know what, I'm not doing this anymore. No, screw this. I'm leaving. Or the sorceress Sione, covered in these ritual tribalistic tattoos, how she wants to know more about her, but the world does not accept her, or Minstrel, or I'm not sure how to pronounce her name, who is this, is an elf known as a Forlorn, grew up around humans, but feels terrible that all her friends have to grow old and die, whereas she stays forever young. And I just recently kind of got into this a little bit more as I'm reading the comic books. Her and another character named Kyra, who is the cleric of Serene, I'm pretty sure, either way, the Dawnflower, they're in a relationship. They're kind of lesbians. And it feels so natural because I've never seen that in other fantasy. And it's that little level of detail that I really like. I don't know. It's something that makes the Pathfinder world seem a little bit more real to me by having these things. And also by reading these comic books, you find out about towns like Sandpoint. There's a city they're in, which is known as the City of Monuments. And you start thinking about the little things that might exist between cities. Like, for example, one of the places that's described is a place called Poplar's Graves, where when they were building towns near Sandpoint, they used a lot of migrant workers. And a lot of them died. And that's where they're buried. And when they go into this graveyard, it's filled with, like, ghouls and shit. But what makes the lore, or what makes the comic books a lot more interesting, is in the back of the comic books, they give you the roleplay stats for what happened. They give you the encounters that have happened in the book, or they flesh out the area with, here's a block of flavor text, here's some game stats. And they really make it genuinely interesting. And it's stuff like that that, once again, I connect more with it. Because it feels, like I said, it's the little details that make this world come alive. Another book that I'd recommend is the main campaign setting book called The Inner Sea World Guide, explaining the Pathfinder Society, explaining how the world came to be. Stuff like that. Explaining the Age of Serpents. Explaining how religion, the economy works. Basically, making the generic fantasy setting into something different. And like I said, it's nice not to have a million piles of books to sort through. Like Paizo has this wonderful series, like I said, of comic books. But there's also audiobooks too, which I recently just found out about. And they're called Pathfinder Legends, which is really kind of kick-ass. They cover the rise of the Rune Lords, which also ties into the Pathfinder card game, which I'll have an interview and a review of that in probably about a week or two. But there's something about having a world so new and so fresh, less than a decade into its life, that you can really feel like you're catching up and kind of play along with it. Now, there are different adventure paths, which I found out about this too, and I'm just starting to get into these. And what they are, they're like a series of adventures that are linked together by a story arc and a theme. The one that I am taking an interest in right now is one called Iron Gods. And basically, like, you can have rocket launchers and machine guns and lasers in Galarian. Holy shit, is that cool. I remember reading, I don't even know where, someone had put the idea in my head, lasers and lances. And I'm just thinking, man, have I got some really cool ideas. Or there's another one called The Mummy's Mask, where there's the land of Osirian, and it's basically like Egypt, stuff like that. You got mummies and like all these tombs and pharaohs and stuff. That is cool. And I know, like I said, I'm basically, it's like D&D with like Ravenloft or Spelljammer or whatever, but here I feel more of a connection to it because I can actually catch up with it. And I think that's the really cool thing about Pathfinder is it's very, very accessible to anybody. Plus, if you are wanting to use older books with it. Like, if you find some old D&D 3.5 stuff, it's compatible, which I think is really freaking cool. I have the Tarrasque. And if you don't know what the Tarrasque is, it's basically Godzilla for D&D. And the only way to kill it is to have a ridiculous amount of luck, pretty much hit this thing with nukes, and use a wish spell to keep it dead. That's the only way this thing can die. You have to use a wish spell for it to stay dead. But still, I think that is really neat. Plus the fact that the game is so customizable, you can add stuff to it. Like, for example, there are things like the Advanced Class Guide, which recently came out, and you can add sort of, like, new things. Like, you can have an Arcanist. You can have a really smart-ass Investigator. The Swashbuckler. A War Priest. How freaking cool does that sound? A War Priest. And for all the classes in the game, there's, like, 29 or 30 or something like that. Ridiculous amount of these things. And with this, you also get new feats, new magic items, and new spells. But the thing is, you don't necessarily need them, which is cool. But there are other things too. There's guides for ultimate magic, new spells, new abilities. Basically, defining how magic works a little bit better if you want to incorporate that. Or the advanced race guide. Let's say you don't necessarily want to play a half-orc spellcaster or something. You want to play a friggin' dragonborn? We can do that. You want to play a cat person? We can do that. Or maybe even make your own, if you're really feeling interesting. And that's ultimately up to your game master. Ultimate equipment. Basically, here is a shopping catalog of really awesome crap that might come in handy. Which is amazing, too. The fact that you get all these new options and new items, etc. There's ultimate combat, which gives you more classes. But also expands upon the rules of combat, in case you want to add your combat, be a little bit more technical, maybe a little bit more flashy, too. Other books that I own is the NPC Codex. Here's a bunch of non-player characters, pre-generated with stats, use them how you will. Once again, brings the world a little bit more to life. Another book that I own, or books that I own, is the Bestiaries, which is basically your monster manuals. Obviously, you need to have something to fight. Otherwise, you're just fighting each other, and that kind of sucks. I also have, like I said, Freeport, the City of Adventure, and it's its own thing. And you can add, like I said, these things into your game and explain the different pirate captains, how safe is Freeport, what parts of the city have this, that, and the other thing. And it's a damn thick book, like almost like 600 pages. Totally worth it, though. And that's from Green Ronin Publishing. I'll probably do a more thorough review of that book at some point in the future, probably over the course of the summertime. But the thing is, with getting into a game like Pathfinder, or even D&D, you really have to feel connected to the world. And with Paizo and Galarian, they seem very welcoming of new people, and they're not necessarily forcing new rules down your throat, and it doesn't feel bloated like other editions of like D&D. And there's only one edition of the game so far, and that's the same rule book that we have now is the same rule book that was from years ago. I like that. Will there be a new edition of Pathfinder at some point? Oh, I'm sure. Because each system has its own pros and cons. But the fact that the Inner Sea feels so, I'm trying to find the right word here, vast. So opening. Like, literally, like, you literally feel like a Pathfinder. If your game master is worth his salt, and if he's just as invested in the world as you are, you can just imagine uncovering the birthplace of one of the gods of creation, or going up to the world wound. And I'm going to throw some of these terms out, so you have to go Google them. Or, you know, finding out where in Thurasia, I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing that right, a certain city is. Stuff like that. And it can be really neat, because it really feels like you're interacting with something. I mean, in essence, I want Pathfinder to be my Star Wars. Here's what I mean by that. Star Wars. You ask me, what's a YT-1300 Corellian freighter? That's the Falcon. What's a YT-2400? That's the Outrider. Where's Geonosis? Stuff like that. I want to be able to rattle off those responses just as quick for Star Wars, for Pathfinder. I want to be able to connect that. And with Pathfinder, it seems like it's easier to do that. And with the expanded media of these books, like I said, the Pathfinder Legends, like the Rise of the Rune Lords, and they've got a full cast behind them too, which is really neat. Plus, you'll learn some pronunciations, which is kind of cool too. You can actually, when you sit down with your local gaming group, and don't be a pompous dick about this, but you can be like, all right, I'm going to call upon Harsk or Valoros or Sione. And, you know how to pronounce their names, or you know something a little bit more about the world into which you exist, or talking about going to the main Pathfinder Lodge in Abiscom, I think it is, or whatever. Stuff like that. I like this. I genuinely do. It feels so cool. And I really hope you guys will check out Pathfinder, because it's the game that made me fall in love with fantasy. Couple of years ago, rather, when I started playing Skyrim, the Elder Scrolls V, I went to a press event at some video game conference, and I was like, all right, sure, let's go check it out. And I'm sitting with my friend Scotty, and we're learning about Skyrim, and I'm just thinking, man, I really want to go play Saints Row 3 or Mass Effect or something. I couldn't care less. Got the game 3 weeks before its official launch. I was a Skyrim nut for like a year or two. That's one of the few games I've actually platinumed or got 100% on in, give me a sec here, basically in, like, Xbox ever. I've never gotten all gamer points, and for that one I did, because I really loved the idea. I thought it was so friggin' cool. And Pathfinder has got me that excited to learn about the world. Like, I'm literally going back and getting the comics that I'm missing, going back and collecting the adventure paths. I mean, truthfully, my goal, good luck I'm guessing, is to collect all the adventure paths and have a full Pathfinder library. And I know that's kind of a cheap idea for a bucket list, but that's what I want. This is a world I want to go full in with. And I really hope you guys will check it out too, because I don't know, that's it. There's something special there, and with all the creative people contributing to it, they're gonna have something you like. There's bound to be something there. Like I said, Iron Gods sounds cool. I'm gonna nuke a gold dragon with power armor and laser guns. I'm going to cut an orc up with, like, basically a lancer gun from Gears of War. You can't do that in D&D. Well, I guess you could, but not currently, because they don't have rules for that stuff yet. You could homebrew them, sure. But ultimately, that is what I have to say right now. So anyway, guys, I really hope you've had a chance to enjoy this journey with me, kind of explaining why this is my game of choice now. Why I feel connected to this world. And I really hope you guys will find that's your game. Because ultimately, one of the things I wanted to accomplish with Bot's role here, and with Terrible Warriors as a whole, I want you to feel connected to something. I want you to feel as I do when you play a role-playing game. I want you to have that adventure with your friends that can last years. I want you to have your Saturday night game session every night for like 2 or 3 years or even longer, to experience epic adventure, to experience cool NPC characters, to have that valiant death fighting the ancient red dragon or destroying the Lich King, or ultimately getting drunk and sleeping with a dwarf or something. I want you to have those memorable experiences. And I think if you find the right game, that can be a tremendously rewarding thing, because I like to think there's a game out there for everybody. And like I said, it could be Star Wars, it could be Call of Cthulhu, it could be Shadowrun. Shadowrun for a long time was my jam because I was huge into cyberpunk for a long, long time. But then I fell out of the world because new editions came out, new lore, my books suddenly weren't compatible anymore. And that hurt me. With Pathfinder, everything that is old is new again. It works. You can translate stuff. You can continue your adventures from D&D 3 to 3.5. You can even play D&D using Pathfinder rules, if you so have. I've played in a Waterdeep game using Pathfinder rules because we like the rules better. There's enough crunch there that it feels good. And yet not so little fluff or role-playing doesn't just come down to a role. So, like I said, guys, I really hope you've enjoyed this half hour of me just kind of waxing philosophical about Pathfinder, but I really hope you'll take some of my recommendations into this. Like I said, if I'm going to recommend some books, the Pathfinder Core Rulebook, duh. The Pathfinder Role-Playing Game Strategy Guide, I really think that's a helpful book for noobs. Ultimate Campaign, if you're a Game Master. And the Game Master Guide. I think everybody should pick up the Inner Sea World Guide, just so you can get a feel for the realm, the world that you're kind of playing in. But also really give a serious consideration to the comic books. Like I said, currently they're publishing Pathfinder Origins, but you can go back and get collected volumes which have pullout maps, which have all the stats, and that's something I'm so happy. I've never seen a D&D comic do that, but I also haven't read the new Baldur's Gate series yet either. So, and finally, any of the bestiaries, though I think the first two are probably the strongest. But hey, go back and look through the D&D 3.5 monster manuals. There are some incredibly badass and evil things in there too. So anyway, guys, until next time on Botched Roll, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, I hope you don't roll a natural one.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, but I'm not a joined... Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh my gosh, freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are actually, you? No.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember...
Lower your shields and surrender your listenership.